I greet you in the name of the Lord. It is so good just to spend the morning worshiping. Amen. And I know I'm in the right place. How about you? Amen. Whew. It's been a tough month, hasn't it? We have had weather to contend with. We've had sickness to contend with. But you know what? Today's a new day. Amen. And we move forward in the hope that is ours through Christ Jesus. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And we'll be starting this morning in chapter 1, verse 1. Starting a brand new sermon series this year. I've never done a series that lasted a year before, but I'm going to try it. I think we're going to really enjoy, though, getting in deep. Amen. If you haven't purchased your book yet, Each One, Disciple One, I want to encourage you to go to the Nazarene Publishing House website, nph.com, and get one. Or, like Lisa said, you can go to Amazon, get one a lot cheaper. Or you can get a downloadable version for $9. And the good book over here, our good dear friends, Rob and Lynette Chamberlain, will do whatever they can to help you out. Tina, you're just bragging now. You got one for $8. I got mine for $10. Yeah, so okay. We're going to spend some time this year learning about what it means to live in the moment, not only with each other, but with Jesus. For 2017, we'll be spending the majority of our time digging deep into what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. One of the most exciting chapters of my life was when I took a class with Dr. Lyons, George Lyons. He was rough. He was so tough at Olivet. And I took a class called the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And we spent a semester learning about how they recorded the same story, and yet they're so different. For December, you know, we spent time just reading about how John recorded the coming of the Messiah. He doesn't include the shepherds. He doesn't include the wise men. He starts with the beginning, the real beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We're going to spend some time this year just looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, understanding what it was for them to experience Jesus, for them to be called by Jesus, for them to lay down their nets, for Matthew to lay down his pen, for the disciples to pick up their cross and follow Jesus. I don't know about you, but for me, one of the goals that I have for 2017 is learning to live in the moment. I have felt rushed 2016. And it's not because my life should be any faster than anybody else's. But I have been tempted to let some things drive me that shouldn't drive me. Can anybody relate to that? And so what I want to encourage us to do is to look into the lives of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and understand that Jesus has given us a different way to live. Sorry, should have turned that off. Just a minute. Probably ought to respond to that. All right, let me turn that off there. There you go. Okay. Sorry. Jesus treated people with dignity and respect at all times, and the little divine interruptions, huh? We talked about it last year that many times the gospel writers record that Jesus was on his way and somebody stepped in his way, and how did he deal with that? And we find that as we look through the gospels that Jesus always walked slowly through the crowd, and he valued every interaction. Amen. The woman at the well. Okay, that's good. That's good. You should have seen what happened in the service out at Lost Lake. All the interruptions. the microphone died and Dave came up and he got down on his knees and he changed my battery in the microphone while I was preaching. So it fit right in with interruptions. We deal with interruptions, don't we? The thing of it is, Jesus teaches us how to interact with each other and value the moment and also value time with Him. So we'll take a slow walk through the Gospels. I believe that we'll notice that Jesus maybe does life different than 21st century America. Have you ever been with someone and they are texting on their phone and you're trying to have a conversation with them? I just want to apologize for the times I've done that to you. Check my Facebook, check my email. I have learned that what's happening in our culture is a fairly new phenomenon, isn't it? Being inundated with social media, there's competition for our attention. And if we're not careful, we can begin to... Thanks, Bill. Isn't Bill doing a good job back? He's the culprit back there, sending the interruptions. If we're not careful... Sorry, Bill, I had to call you out. If we're not careful, the interruptions can become all that is about our life instead of learning to participate in the moment. Amen. This year, maybe your resolution could look something like making sure that we are in full participation, not only with each other in the moments that we have to share with each other, but in full participation with Jesus. Who was that? Bill says it's not me. Somebody else is doing it. Prepare you the way of the Lord. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. If you have your Bibles, I believe it's going to be on the screen as well this morning. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. In the beginning of the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight paths for him. So John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to meet him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Verse 7. And this is his message. After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, we invite you to come and divinely interrupt, intervene in what we are doing here this morning. Father, we realize that without you, we're on our own. And today, Lord, we invite your divine intervention as we begin this brand new year. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting that as the gospel writer Mark tells his story, sometimes we don't realize that he is speaking to a particular audience, and he is speaking to people who are familiar with the Old Testament. And so as he begins to tell the story of John the Baptist, he wants to make sure that his hearers understand that this message, that this man who is coming, John the Baptist, was prophesied in Scripture. John the Baptist, camel's hair, eaten wild locusts and wild honey. remind you of anybody in Scripture? The Bible says in the Old Testament that there will come a man in the likes of Elijah who will prepare the way for the Lord. In fact, if you have your Bibles and want to turn back to the last book of the Old Testament, you'll see that Malachi 3:1 says this, "I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me." I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. This was written 400 years prior to the coming of Jesus. And here he is, John the Baptist, the fulfillment of the prophecy of God. Then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 3 through 4. This was written 700 years prior to the birth of Jesus Christ, 740 years. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain." Prepare. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. What if this morning we realize that Jesus has a message in this for you and me? Amen. That the work that John the Baptist was doing is not only made for those people back there, but it has a message for us here as well this morning. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. I love the fact that here we are in 2017, starting a brand new year together. We're in the right place at the right time. Amen. I don't know about you, but was 2016 just a really tough year? Some of you are saying no, but this one's going to go down in the record books for the Trotters. This one was a tough one. And I'm ready. I don't think it's an accident that Mark, as he records the story of John the Baptist coming, includes the word wilderness, a voice of one calling in the wilderness. Who do you think of when you think of wilderness? You think of the children of Israel who wandered in the wilderness, in the desert, in the barren places, in the dry lands for 40 years. All they had to sustain them was a promise. You been there? Done that? So as God sends his messenger into the world to precede Jesus, he's saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord, a voice of one calling in the wilderness to people like us who are hungry and thirsty and tired and overwhelmed with some of the stuff going on in our lives. We need Jesus. We need him to come. We need him to show up. We need him to divinely intervene in our lives. Amen? So prepare ye the way of the Lord. As John the Baptist enters the scene, we may be like the people who are in the desert that day, eagerly desiring Jesus, the Messiah, to come into our lives. John the Baptist appeared. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Here it is again. Surely the day is coming. This is the last prophecy prior to the Gospels. Surely the day is coming, it will burn like a furnace, and all the arrogant and every evildoer will stumble. And the day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his rays, and you will go about and frolic like well-fed calves. Then you will trample on the wicked. They will be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day when I act, says the Lord Almighty. Remember the law of my servant Moses, the decrees and the laws I gave him at Horeb for all Israel. See, I will send the prophet Elijah to you. That's John the Baptist. before that great and fearful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children. Boy, doesn't our nation need that. Amen. Ooh, just claim that this morning. And the hearts of the children to their parents. Just take a moment and claim that this morning. Amen. Or else I will come and strike the land with total destruction. We have to protect the family. The disintegration of our family contributes to the disintegration of everything that's valuable in our culture. So John the Baptist comes. He's the fulfillment of the prophecy. John the Baptist, he looks a lot like Elijah. So John the Baptist appeared. What was his message? Confession of sins and baptism. Confession and baptism. That's a great way to prepare for 2017. Would you, with me for a moment, participate in a divine intervention right now? Bow your heads and close your eyes and let's confess our need of Him. Lord God, we come to You this morning as a congregation in great need of You. We're aware, Lord, that we have our minds have strayed. The things that we could have done, we didn't do. And the things that we shouldn't do, we did. And we're convicted about that, Lord. And we confess before You this morning. Without You, God, we are lost, wandering in the desert, going about grumbling and complaining, but wishing for life to just finally come together. Lord, forgive us, I pray, for not inviting You in to divinely intervene, but we do that now. Father, we're humbled. We're humbled by our job losses. We're humbled by our sicknesses. We're humbled. We're humbled, Lord, that broken relationships exist in our lives. We're humbled that there's not enough to go around. We're humbled to acknowledge, Lord, that without You, we are nothing. So we confess. You are God, and we are a sinful, needy people in need of Your redemption and grace. It's me, oh God, standing in the need of prayer. In Jesus' name. So John's priority was preparation. He met the public kind of like half undone. I mean, the guy was like a wild man. Dressed in camel's hair and drinking wild honey and eating wild locusts. I wonder how much we desire to do the will of God. A willingness to be thought of as a little undone by our culture, maybe even by our family, because the priority of the kingdom really is a priority in our life. John says, after me will come one more powerful than I. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, surely the day is coming. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service. Equip, preparation. God is doing that right here and right now in our lives. I'd like to invite our ushers to begin to distribute the elements of communion this morning. First the bread, and then the juice. If you would hold them together, I will lead you through communion in a few moments. Thank you, Chase. Those of you who know me and know my personal life, I have become interested in keeping aquariums. Thank you, Jay. I enjoy it because, number one, the fish are beautiful. And I like to just kind of have my hands in, like, cultivation all the time. This is the first experience that I've had trying to grow live plants. And for those of you who understand or know a little bit about keeping an aquarium, you know that the goal, this unattainable goal, but it's a goal, is that you want to create the conditions so that this little aquarium can become kind of self-sustaining. You know what I mean? The plants eat the muck and produce oxygen, and they get all nice and green because they're eating the muck. You know what I'm saying? And so as the fish do what they're doing, the plants do what they do, and this little ecosystem develops. Now, the fact is, no matter how hard I work at keeping my aquarium so that it is a perfectly balanced little ecosystem, it's impossible. I can't do it. The fish can't do it. The plants can't do it within that little system, within that little box of life. It requires an intervention. And so, at least once a month, I'll look at my aquarium and I'll be like, okay, I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to have to go in. I'm going to have to change some water. I'm going to have to stir some gravel. I'm going to have to prune some plants. I'm going to have to go in and it's going to be ugly, but I got to do it. And so I pull some water out and then I start digging around in there. I start pruning plants, and I start scratching around in the gravel. And for those of you who've had an aquarium, you know what this does. It begins to stir up this cloud of awful nastiness. And the fish are like, oop, 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 oop. And the filter is clogging up. And yes, Dan?
Is that before after you cut my hair?
I always wash my hands, Dan. Just want you to know, you're safe. Speaking of that, there's bacteria in there. There's good and there's bad bacteria, and you don't want the bad bacteria to overcome the good. And so you're always working. And I just see that aquarium as a picture of my life. You see, if I don't allow for God's divine intervention, I am simply putting off an inevitable, slow, painful spiritual death. So God invites us to welcome an intervention this morning. He invites us to say, I know the muck has to be divinely dealt with. Lord, it's going to get worse before it gets better. Okay. And he says, hang on. Hang on. You see, if you're like me, I don't like it when my life that I'm trying to make so peaceful and tranquil and calm and happy, I don't like it when I know that I'm faced with things getting messy. But you see, God desires to intervene. And the fact is, we just cannot do life without His divine interventions. So what is it for you? I could give you a list of things in my life that I know God is working on, and He has plans for me in 2017. He has plans for you, but it's going to require that I say yes to His sticking His hand in my life and stirring it up. I'm like, God, that's going to be messy. He says, I know, but I got this. I know what I'm doing. So 2017, learning to value time in the moment with Jesus. It may be a divine intervention this morning, a time of confession, a time of getting on our faces before Him, acknowledging our need of Him. This morning it may be a divine moment right here, right now, that He doesn't want you to miss with Him. In leadership training, you've heard me say this, but there's three stages of change that we go through, and that's the storm, the form, and the norm. The storm, the form, and the norm. And when God reaches in His hand into my life, it's the storm. Inviting me to confession, inviting me to get on my face before Him, and acknowledge my need of Him. The storm is the divine intervention. The form, when things start to come back together, that's when I'm learning from the Master on a daily basis. And then there's the norm, what I would call the life of the entirely sanctified. Being baptized with the Holy Spirit, like John the Baptist said. So participating in the divine interventions. I've had divine interventions, haven't you? Praise God. He has reached into my life and saved me. Conviction's painful. But it's life-saving. Confession is embarrassing. It's humiliating, but it's life-giving. Then He reaches in and saves me, Jason. Not by works, but by His grace. And then I follow Him in believer's baptism. These divine interventions to save me from my sin, to save me from the death penalty of my actions. That's the storm. It's very uncomfortable. And we sit there in confession, under conviction. And perhaps you've been a part of services where you just feel like your heart has jumped to your throat and you're like, oh God, how did He know? Why is He preaching right to me? That's a divine intervention. I want to invite you this morning to say yes to that. If that's where you are this morning and God is reaching in and offering to come and save you from your sin, just say yes. Then there's the form. After we're saved, we begin to grow in grace and our lifestyle begins to change and our thinking starts to change and our heart begins to change toward people and things start percolating away and we start to think, wow, there's some good things happening here. And then Jesus says, I want you to do this. And then we realize that we fold our hands and begin to mount a resistance campaign against him. I'm not going to do that. You're asking me to do what? I'm not going to do that. And then he intervenes again. And he says, John, you've invited me to be your Savior, to save you from your sins. Will you allow me to be your Lord? Will you allow me to lead your life in ways of holiness, that every attitude would reflect the attitude of my Son, Jesus? It's the life of the entirely sanctified. It's the life that says, I realize that God desires not only to save me from my sin, but he desires to save me from my sinful nature. And he moves from the resident of my life to the president of my life. It's another beautiful divine intervention. And then comes the norm, where the radical coming in and just tearing life up because it's a mess. Well, I'm learning a life of grace. And the divine interventions, praise God. I remember salvation, confession, baptism. And even after we're entirely sanctified, if we get off on a tangent and not realize where we're headed, God will divinely intervene. But the norm becomes, after we've given Jesus everything, to participate daily in divine moments with him. That's being with Jesus in daily interaction. That's life by the Spirit. That's daily living. The storm, the form, and the norm. Prayerfully this morning with me, would you ask the Holy Spirit to identify where you are at in life? You know, when God created man in back there in Genesis, he set him in the garden to till the garden, to work the garden. I like that. And then something happened, didn't it? Adam and Eve sinned, and pretty soon we have a picture of them hiding. So when God comes down and desires to walk with them like he does every evening, and he's probably, you know, because they're supposed to work the garden, he's thinking, he's throwing out hints, you know, like the master gardener would. Adam, I just see that land over there, that hill right over there. What if you took those bushes right here and planted them up there and took the hostas and planted some pretty flowers up there? And Adam's getting a vision for what God wants him to do in the garden. It's exciting. And then Adam and Eve sin. And as they hide in shame and cover themselves with the blood of a sacrificed animal, the skin of a sacrificed animal, God comes down and he desires to work with them in the garden one more time, like he always does. But instead, Adam and Eve are hiding because they've sinned. But the beautiful message from God is this: where are you? Adam, where are you? So that applies to me and you, all of us. Where are you in your relationship to receiving these divine interventions and these divine moments? See, Adam and Eve were scared to death that God was just going to tear it up. They were scared. And that fits. Sometimes we run and hide because we're scared of him stirring it up. But it has to get worse before it can get better. Wouldn't it be a tragedy to miss this moment of starting 2017 on the right foot, the right way? You see, we can start this new year one of two ways. We can start this year by keeping God, you know, over there. You just keep over there. You know, I love you. Take me to heaven. But, you know, don't force me to do anything. Or say, Lord, all of me, I surrender all of me. That's the norm. It's the life of the entirely sanctified, a life of continual yes to God. The problem is sometimes we want the divine moments, we want the security and we want the peace and we want the tranquility, but we're not willing to say yes to the divine interventions. But the divine intervention has to happen first before we can be at peace with God. If that has to happen this morning in your life, do not leave here without allowing God to intervene. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for divinely intervening in our lives. And you're doing it now, today. We recognize our great need of you. Lord, help us start this brand new year welcoming your divine interventions, bringing us to spiritual growth, to spiritual health and vitality. Help us, Lord, not be tempted to take shortcuts and just believe that there's a little area in my life that you aren't really concerned about, even though we hold the keys to it, Lord. I pray that we would surrender every area of our life to you as we participate in the divine intervention, saying yes. We allow you, Lord, to help us prepare for your coming. Whatever you're going to do, Father, we're on board. We say yes to your plans for us for 2017. We say, count us in. Lord, don't let us fool ourselves. Help us be on track with your Holy Spirit. Lead us, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from the Gospel of Luke. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And wouldn't it have been a real tragedy to be like Judas, to have your mind on something totally different? When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table, and he said to them, I've eagerly desired to share this Passover meal with you. And Judas is over here thinking about other things. But for the 11 other disciples, they're just sitting on the edge of their seat. They're communing with the Master. And it just had to be living water for their soul and living bread for their bodies. And as he said, I have eagerly desired to eat this with you, to share this moment with you. This bread is a symbol, Jesus said, of my body. He said he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray and ask him to bless. Father, bless as we receive this bread, an emblem of your broken body for us. May we be reminded of the cost that our salvation was to you. as we are thankful, God, in Jesus' name. Let's receive the bread. In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And Judas is thinking, "Would you hurry up, please? I got something I need to do." But the 11 other disciples just couldn't hardly believe what he was saying. "Your blood given for me that I may be forgiven and free." Jesus, bless as we receive this remembrance of your blood. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us. Thank you for salvation, full and free. We receive with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Participating in the divine interventions if necessary, but for sure this year, no matter where we are in our spiritual walk, 2017 can be a year of participating in the divine moments. Prepare the way. Be ready. Confess. Say yes to him. Amen. Let's not miss what he has in store for us for 2017. Next week, I'll be sharing a message on the testing, which from Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, here we have the testing of Jesus. We've all been through the test, tested in different ways. And we can learn how to survive the storm. Amen. As we learn from Jesus. I'd like to invite our worship team to come as we sing today. Power of your love. Amen.
Spirit leads me on by the power of your love. Lord, unveil my eyes. Let me see you face to face, the knowledge of your
kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. God bless you guys. Have a great week. You are dismissed.